Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
L'chaim, it's coffee, but I hope, hopefully, tomorrow and the next day we'll drink wine. In order to make the mitzvah, chayav inish li besumei adelo yada ben arur aman le baruch Mordechai. Because we are before Purim, we are going to deal with Purim. And deal with Purim, first we start with a small thing from the parsha. Is kitisa et rosh bnei Israel. What's kitisa et rosh bnei Israel? Tisa is to raise their head of bnei Israel. But we're talking here about counting them. So what's the connection between counting and raising the head of bnei Israel? The thing is, we're talking here about after the sin, the big sin with the golden calf. And you know, when you are in not such a good situation, in a bad situation, how do you behave? You are depressed and your head is normally down. And when you're depressed and your head is down, you are not functioning. You are like moving on, like, okay. And this is not Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael, in any situation, doesn't matter what it is, Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, they sinned, they did a terrible thing, but you are counting them now as people that are my children. And ki tisa et rosh bnei Yisrael, you have to raise their heads up, though maybe they not exactly deserve to raise their head because of the sin they did, but still, everything that happens, you can always do tshuva, and you can always raise your head up, because if you don't raise your head up, you are like an animal, and even worse. And we all know, if we are thinking straight, the head is in the place, we can do things even if the situation is not so good, because our head is up, and we believe in God. So the first thing is, ki tisa et rosh bnei Yisrael. And that's also, when we think about Purim, when we think about what was Am Yisrael going through at the situation that they know that at a certain date they are going to be killed. This is a bad time, very bad time. And in a bad time like this also, that's what the Torah is telling us, ki tisa et rosh, you have to raise up your head. You have to know that there is never, ever a situation for a Jew that he cannot go back to Kodesh Baruch Hu and be saved, for it doesn't matter what it is. And the prophets say, I think we talked about it, Gdola asarat atabat yoter minevuatam shen kol nevi'ei achurban. The moving, removing of the ring of the Achashverosh, the king, and giving it to Haman, did more than all the prophets did. Try to do. They didn't want to be successful. Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, they were talking about the Churban, the destruction of the temple. You have to do tshuva. Did they do tshuva?
No.
But when the Hashverosh gave his ring to Haman, did they do tshuva?
Mm-hmm.
They did. And they were saved. So they say that Haman Arasha, that's why we say, Chayav inishli besume, you have to drink till you get to a level that you don't make the difference between blessed is Mordechai and cursed is Haman. It's the same already for you. And the idea behind it, people think, okay, I have to drink, so I fall off the chair and I...
That's stupid.
Sorry to tell you, lie around on the floor and under the table. Really? That's what our sages want us to do? A lot of people want to believe that that is the case because they like to drink. There's an excuse to drink. But the real truth is that the whole idea is that you have to get to a level. You see, they say, Nichnas yain yatsa sod. When you drink wine, you get a good mood. And then you say things that normally you wouldn't say. But you have still to be in control and say what things? Good things. And then you see, who is this real person really? Is he good or is he bad? Because when your tongue is free and there are no strings,
limitation,
you talk exactly what you think. And this is why they say that Talmidei Chachamim used to come near the rabbis at Purim, especially at Purim. Why? Because the rabbis were drinking and they started to say things of Torah Tasod, of the Kabbalah, of things that they never heard through in the year, only at Purim. And Purim is so important, they say Purim ke Kippurim. Purim is the same level as Yom Kippur. So it's a very high level. But we are happy, and this, yes, so what? You have to also to be happy on Yom Kippur, the same way you are happy on Purim. Maybe it's hard to understand, but that's the idea. So when we talk about Purim, the first thing is to understand and realize that there was happening a great miracle. And the great miracle is built. You know how many years the Megillah was happening? It's not half an hour that we read it. That's everybody understand. How long was it all happening? From the first day when they went to the feast of the Hashverosh till the end of the Megillah. How long?
Approximately
1 year, 2 years. 1 year, 2 years, yes, okay. More bits. At least 9 years. In the beginning, it's in Mishnat Shalosh Lemolcho. And when Haman HaRasha is there, it's Mishnat Shlosh Esreh Lamelech HaChashverosh. And this is only after a year that he's doing what he's doing. It means that we're talking around 10 years. But people think that it was happening like a year, half a year. And so you see the miracle. The thing is, you don't see the miracle. That's why it's called Megillat Esther. And Esther is also in Hay. It's covered. You don't see. It's hidden. And what is hidden? The miracle. Because think about it. There was a feast that started everything. And this feast happened 9 years ago. Do you remember what wedding you went 9 years ago?
Not yesterday.
So who would even think about connecting the feast with what's happening now? Nobody. And that's exactly why there's a very strange halacha. Asur likroa et ha-megillah lemafrea. Mi shekara lemafrea lo yatsa. What is lemafrea? You're not allowed to read chapter 6 before chapter 1. Or chapter 5 before chapter 4. Very strange halacha. Who would think to read chapter 4 before chapter 1? You take the Megillah and you read from the beginning to the end. So what is the idea behind it? The idea is behind it that you have to understand and realize the miracle. And if you don't read it on the right order and in one go, you don't see the miracle. So, okay, you have one episode, a feast. Then the king decides to kill his wife. Then he chooses another wife. Then there is this guy, Mordechai, who sits in the gate and he tells Esther, his daughter or his protege, whatever, he tells her that there are two people want to kill the king. And then there is this guy, Haman, and then, like a lot of mikrim. This is why we say Parashat Zachor before Purim. Asher karcha baderech. What is Amalek saying? Everything is by accident. Everything is a mikre. But there is no mikre. Everything is by God. And that's exactly the thing. If we don't connect the things together, we don't see the hand of God. It's like one of your children hit your other child. What do you do? You punish him, yes? How do you punish him? Whatever. But tell you the truth, it's a big mistake. Why? You're looking about the mikre. What is a mikre in English? How do you say? We're looking at the event itself. But the event is not the reason. You have to look at the klal, at the whole, the picture. And that's a mistake. We do everything. We deal with what happens now, and we don't deal with the real thing. And for example, this child hit his brother. Why? Maybe you don't give him attention. And he looks for attention. So in other words, when you hit him now and punishing, you're doing worse. Because the next time you know, if I want attention, what do? I hit again. Then I get attention from my father or from my mother. But if you sit with him and says, Moishale, tell me what's wrong. You know, you're such this, this and this. And then finally you will find out the reason. It's because you come from work and you don't even look at him. Or whatever it is. But then you deal with the klal. You deal with the reason. And that's in everything in life. We always judge things from the certain case, a certain thing that happened. The Megillah. That's why the Kabbalah says you never look at the Mikre. You never look at what happened now or here and there. You have to look on the whole picture. That's the idea. And especially in the Megillah. So there was a feast, there was this, there was that. But only if you connect everything to that and you see the whole picture, you realize, understand what happened here. From one side, what happened here is Jews went to the feast of the Ahasuerus. They went to the feast of Ahasuerus. And by the way, there was nothing wrong with it because everything was kosher le-me'adrin. And you know who the Mashgiach was? Mordechai. Mordechai was the Mashgiach. The wine was okay. Ashtia kadat enones. What is Ashtia kadat enones? Kadat, every religion, had the own wine. And nobody forced you to drink or to do anything. And everything was in kashrut. In other words, they were sitting in a wedding, enjoying a good meal. So what's wrong? The king invited them. What's wrong in this? What's wrong? The Gemara says, Ne'enu mesu'udato sheloto rasha. They enjoyed the meal of this rasha. And that's the problem. Enjoyed the meal. Not that they ate the meal. Not that they went to the feast. They enjoyed the feast. So, wow, what's wrong with enjoying? Because at that feast, Ahasuerus was wearing the clothes of Kohen Gadol. And they were using the tools of the bed of the temple. And as we all know, what is Ahasuerus asking in the middle of this feast? To bring his wife in what, how should she appear? Naked. Naked. So you can imagine to yourself what kind of feast this is. Now, Jews sitting in this feast and enjoying themselves?
No.
Impossible. That cannot be. You cannot be a Jew in the morning and a Goy at night. You cannot be a Tzaddik in the morning and a Rasha at night. As I told you before, imagine yourself, this kid is a great Talmid Chacham. His father comes to meeting in the yeshiva and the Rosh Yeshiva tells him, you know, your son is an unbelievable Talmid Chacham, but we have a problem. In the middle of the night, he closed the Gemara and he goes to Dizengoff and to Allenby and to the clubs and to all those things, drinks and get drunk. Now, is this a Talmid Chacham?
No.
Because you cannot live on two worlds. It doesn't work. So, you can go to the feast. They invited you to a wedding, which is not exactly a wedding that we should go. But, you know, it's a friend, it's a neighbor, or whatever. Or somebody that is in business with you. And you have to go. It can happen sometimes, by the way, happened with a Goy also. A Goy invites you to a function and you are with business with him or he's your neighbor and he invites you and you know, if you don't go, he gets insulted. So you go. Okay, go. And you know, he even brings you kosher food. No problem. You can eat. And then you see all the things around, naked ladies and whatever, all the things that you're not allowed to be there. So, can you sit and enjoy it?
No.
Of course not. I always remember I went years ago to a bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah. What is a bar mitzvah? When the child gets to a level that he is now obligated to commit to do the mitzvahs. How do you celebrate a thing like this? We all know. He gives a drasha, or he does something, sudat mitzvah, singing. In the middle of this bar mitzvah, they brought the bar mitzvah kid in. On a, how do you say, a pirion, on a, like they were carrying him on a, how do you say it?
On a chair higher.
No, a chair that, that you carry. What? No.
Whatever.
Pedestal, whatever, something. Carrying him, half naked women, and dancing in front of him. And I said, Bonishalom, this is bar mitzvah? So, and that's what I think about, I think this is the feast of the Ahasuerus. So, how can a Jew sit there and enjoy it? You know, the king invited you. Okay, go. Eat something, says Mazel Tov, and go away. That's it, you did it. But to sit there and enjoy it. And this caused all the problems. Now, Let's talk about the good things in the Megillah. Now we understand that it's all connected, and it all started 9-10 years ago, and it all, one thing led to the other thing, and that's the way we should understand this is life. Because unfortunately we are like this guy looking in a keyhole that sees one thing of the room, he doesn't see everything, and he can see somebody taking a knife and cutting somebody, and he thinks he's murdering him, and when he opens the door he sees an operation. And that's life. We see everything in a keyhole. We see only a small period of time. We don't see the whole picture. And we have to understand and realize that whatever we see is only a part of a big picture. As I said, you don't look at the mikre. You look at the whole. You don't look at something now that you see in your own eyes for a minute or 2 minutes or 10 minutes. You look at the whole picture.
Yes. I really feel God's hand, and every time things get holding to Hashem, I remember this bracha.
Yes. All is from God. And now, let's put it in. Let's ask a few questions on Purim, and try, like in a short way, to go to a certain episode of the Megillah in order to have it look at it at the way the Midrashim look at it, which is, by the way, a little humoristic way, but is that's the truth. Why do we disguise? Do you know all the tachposot? Do you know why we disguise? Why was Haman coming avel v'chafui rosh after he took Mordechai on the tour in Shushan? Why was he chafui rosh? What is chafui rosh? Hafuyo, something on his head. What's wrong with his head? And then we say Shoshanat Yaakov Tzaala Vesamecha Virotam Yachad Techelet Mordechai. Tzaala Vesamecha. Why were they happy? Because they saw Techelet Mordechai. What is Techelet Mordechai? Or a better question, what is Yachad? Yachad. Yachad, Be Yachad is together. What is it? Virotam to. And you will see in a minute that there is a very interesting meaning here. Okay, let's try. There are a lot of other questions, but we'll go through a little. But the Techelet Mordechai, by the way, is the reason that we disguise on Purim. Okay? Let's see how it happened. As we all know, Haman HaRasha comes to the king between the two feasts that Esther is doing. He wants to hang Mordechai on the tree that he prepared for him. What is happening now is very interesting. At the same time, the king cannot sleep. He asks one of his servants, please read me the memory book. And they open the memory book exactly at the point where Mordechai saved the life of the king. And he asks, what is being done good with this Mordechai? And the answer is, nothing. And by the way, nothing is already the reward. You know, a Jew, a reward is nothing. If they didn't kill him or put him in a concentration camp, it's the reward already. It's like, you know, the lion had stuck a bone in his throat. So he said, the one who is going to take the bone out of my throat is going to get $1,000, $100 million, is going to be free of taxes, going to get... So who came? The Hasidah. How do you say Hasidah in English? The stalls got along. She put its head inside, took the bone out, and was waiting for the reward. So the lion is looking, what are you waiting for? He says, you promised a reward. What? Not enough you put your head inside my mouth and I didn't eat you? You want more reward? Go away. And that's exactly, lo na'asa davar, nothing has been done with Mordechai. But the king says, no, that's wrong. Says, who is b'chatzer? Who is there? I hear a noise from the yard. Who is there? And no, think about, you know, we don't think about Haman HaRasha. The middle of the night comes to the king. Like he was really in a high, very high level to allow himself to come to the king in the middle of the night. This is to other thing. What he thinks to himself. He thinks that he is already, everything is going moved by him. And it is, in a certain way. So it's just Haman. Okay, call him. And Haman comes. Gets in. And the king is asking him, you know, he in his mind, he's hanging Mordechai, and now and he's the favorite of the king. He's been in a feast with the Hester Amalka and the king alone. He is on the top of the world. And the king says, what should I do with somebody that did good with me, and I want to do good with him? So, obviously, what does he think?
He's thinking of himself.
He thinks of himself. He's sure that he is going to be the one that is going to, the one that he, the king, wants to do good with him, because everything is moving the same way. So it says the king should take a crown that he used to wear, clothes that he used to dress himself, a horse that he used to ride, and one of the biggest ministers of the kingdom should lead him in the way, on the way of Shushan, and shout in front of everybody, "Kach ya'aseh la'ish asher ha'melech hafetz beikaro." That's what he should do to the man who the king is in favor of him, wants to do good to him. Unbelievable. So the king thinks to himself, people think he's stupid, he's not so stupid. He understands that this guy wants the crown. And he exactly knows that he and Mordechai are not exactly lovers. So he says to him, what you said? Exactly. But because look what he's saying. Al tapel davar. Because he knows exactly what's going on here. He says, you are doing exactly, but exactly what you said. Don't miss anything. So Haman, what happened? He has to do all this to Mordechai. So he goes to Mordechai. Mordechai is with a sack and dirty. So he comes to him, here, put the clothes on. He says, put the clothes on? What, are you crazy? I'm not going to put the clothes like this. I'm all dirty. What, do you think I'm going to, like this, wear the clothes of the king? Wash me. Now Hester, that knows what's going on, gave an order in all Shushan, all the places, the wash places, the, how do you say, all the bathhouses are going to be closed, and also the barbers, all closed. So Haman is going around, everything is closed. So he says, what do you want me? Go take a key, open, and you wash me. So Haman is washing Mordechai. Not enough, he says, to take him, now he's also washing him, and it's not ending here. Mordechai says, okay, now you have to cut my hair, you know. And I need a barber. Says, goes around, everything is closed. Says, okay, you know, I know that you have been, there is a whole episode between Mordechai and Haman, I'm not going to go into it now, but Haman in a for life, he was a barber. So he says, I'm sure that you at home still kept the tools. Go home and take your tools. So Haman Rasha now not only washed him, now he's also cutting his hair. After they finished, so he put the clothes on. And you have to understand, Mordechai is not dressed, it's very complicated clothes. You have to put it on him. So Haman is dressing him. He washed him, he cut his hair, now he's dressing him. Now, he says, okay, go on the horse. There's a horse. The horse is high. How do you want me to go on the horse? I cannot go on the horse. He says, no problem, bend down. He bends down, he goes on his back, on the horse. Now, Haman Rasha says, okay, this is not the end of it. Now he has to go through the best places in Shushan, and everybody's going to laugh at him. Yesterday he wanted to hang this Mordechai, and now this Mordechai is on the horse, and he is he's shouting in front of him, that's the way the king was going to do, the one who he loves, who he wants to do in his way. What should I do? Suddenly he's got a brilliant idea. He sees the sack that Mordechai wore before. He says, I'm going to take off my clothes. He looks like a minister. I'm going to put the sack of Mordechai, and when I go in town, everybody will think on the horse is Haman, and Mordechai is leading the horse, because it's with the sack. They all know Mordechai is with the sack. Wow, he's so happy about his idea. So they start going and shout, and all the Jews go look, and that's exactly when we say, Shoshanat Yaakov, Tza'ala v'samecha, Birotam Yachad, Techelet Mordechai. Birotam, all the Jews were happy when they saw Mordechai. So understand, in other words, they know who is on the horse. How did they know who is on the horse? Even from far away. Birotam Yachad, they saw together, they thought two things. Tchelet Mordechai, what is the Tchelet? Tchelet is the coat that of the king wear, but Tchelet is something else. What is Tchelet? Tzitzit. Tzitzit. Mordechai was wearing his tzitzis on the clothes. So everybody saw who is on the horse. A Jew, it's Mordechai. So they were all happy. Shoshanat Yaakov, Tzala Vesamecha, Birotam Yachad, Techelet Mordechai. That's what we say. They saw it was Mordechai. And Haman goes, and it's not her ending, because when he goes near his house, his daughter is looking from up the second floor, and she sees this whole thing coming. And what does she see?
It's her father.
She sees her father on a horse, and Mordechai with a sack leading the horse. That's what she thinks, because that's obviously what's happening. It's, nobody can imagine, especially not his daughter, that Haman, that yesterday was the greatest guy in the kingdom, is now going with a sack. So she goes to the toilet, takes an old bucket with all the dirt in there, and the minute that she sees Mordechai underneath her, she throws it on his head. And Mordechai raised his head, and she realized it's not Mordechai, it's Haman, her father. And his father, Haman is looking, who threw from my house? Throwing on me this dirt? He looks, he sees his daughter. His daughter looks at him, he looks at her. She got in a panic, got a heart attack, fall down, died. By the way, everything I'm telling you is in the Midrashim. It's not a story that I tell. It's written in the Midrashim. I just connect the Midrashim together. And now he says, what is Avel v'chafui Rosh? He said because of what he did now. But what is chafui Rosh? What is on his head? Now we know what's on his head. All the dirt from the toilet is on his head. Now he wants to go home. He cannot go home because the messengers of the king come to take him to the second feast of with Esther. And you know, you don't come late to the king. You come late to the king, your head is in one place and your body in another place. So they take him to the feast. Well, let me wash. No. You have to go to the king. They get to the king and he goes in. What's this smell? The king is saying, what is this guy? How has he come to me to a feast? Is it normal? And then he says, Esther, quickly, tell me what you want. I cannot stand this smell. He says, Esther, he says, this is an evil man. He wants to do this and that. The king, all those, too much news, let's say, and the smell, he goes out. The male king, says out to the garden. When he goes out to the garden, what does he see? They're taking his trees down. Because Haman Arasha gave an order, an angel came, whatever, and Haman Arasha gave an order to take the trees down. Everything is to build the anger of the king of Hashverosh. So he comes down angry. When he goes in, what does he see? Haman on the bed with Esther. Because, you know, they didn't eat on chairs. They were on a feast. They were sitting on beds. And he is asking for his life. Because, you know, that's it. It's finished. And he's lying on the bed of Esther. He says, what? Halikvoshet amalkai mi babait? What, not enough you wanted to be king? Because I know your plans. Now you're all, when I'm still here, you want to take the queen in my house? When I'm there? Wow, this is a chil chutzpah. This is over the top. And suddenly, a guy from the side, Harbona, says, yes, and you know, there is this tree ready, 50 amah height. He wants to hang. You know who he wants to hang? The one who saved your life. He wants to hang on the... hang him on it. Now, what's Harvona suddenly? Why didn't he say it till now? What is this great Harvona Zachor Latov? It says, Vegam Harvona Zachor Latov. What is this Vegam? He looks like a good guy. He told the king. How did he know? And if he knew, why didn't he say it till now? Because he also thought that Haman is going to win. But when he saw Haman falling, he realized that if he doesn't speak quickly, Haman could open his mouth and says, I'm not alone in this plot. There are other people with me, and this one near you that is here in the room is also one of part of my members of the, but we planned the plan to hang Mordechai. So he quickly says, hey, king, you know, here's the tree that he wanted to hang Mordechai. He says, oh, tlu Allah. So Harvona is not such a great guy. He just wanted to save himself. Now, this is a little different view on the Megillah. And Baruch Hashem, you know, as we said, v'na'afochu. So what is the reason that we disguise ourselves? One is v'na'afochu, that everything turned on the right. But a very interesting reason is that Haman disguised himself in order that nobody will know who he is. And he didn't help him. He just went in bomb. That's why we disguise ourselves. And now when somebody will ask you, what is Shoshanat Yaakov Tzala V'Samecha Birotam Yachad Tchelet Mordechai? What were they so happy about? And what is Yachad Tchelet Mordechai? Because with the Tchelet of the Me'il, of the coat, there was the Tchelet of the Tzitzit. Purim Sameach.